There we go.
We'll trade.
All right.
No, I want mine first.
All right.
Children, children.
Go ahead and call this fire committee meeting to order here on Monday, July 2nd, 2018. We have full committee here today, so thank you, gentlemen. And we will begin with item number one on the agenda, which is the approval of minutes from the April 30th, 2018 meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
We have a motion and a reluctant second for approval. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Moving on to item number two, which is public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public who would like to address the committee on any agenda item or any other topic. Now would be the appropriate time to do so. If you do want to speak, we'll give you 2 minutes and ask you to come to the microphone and give us your name and address for the record. Is there anyone in the public who'd care to speak at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number three on the agenda, which is an overview regarding the emergency management projects, initiatives, and general operations. This was something that we added to fire committee several months ago at Mr. Kunane's request that we have Amanda come to us at least a quarterly basis and update us on the emergency management operations. So, Amanda, it's good to see you today. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So we've had a pretty busy couple of months. I will start with Be Flood Ready, which is what we were ramping up for whenever I gave the last update, my first update on April 30th. So we held Be Flood Ready, which was a community engagement event on May 9th. We really had, I would say, a pretty good turnout. It was in the evening, a lot of effort as far as departmental, various departments are concerned, as well as you can see a list of all of the subject matter experts that we engaged. Each one of those was present in providing valuable information to our community members with regard to activities that they can take on to be able to mitigate their own properties or influence their own individual preparedness. In addition, we talked about Thomas Old Village Drainage Project as well as Sea Farm. Really, the lessons learned from this is that we should anticipate bringing this down to the neighborhood level, particularly those that are subject to frequent flooding, and so starting to engage it at the area of hazards. In addition, I think our community really would like to have access to tools and information with regard to their own to hazards. So being able to see what our hazards are, what is relevant to us, to be able to make informed decisions as a community member or property owner. Then May 14th, we had the Wanda Bridge failure. This was a regional impact and it impacted everyone. And it was relatively long term compared to some of the emergencies that we typically have. Our strengths, we had an early activation. Our law enforcement agencies and public safety agencies really rallied, came together. In addition, all of our jurisdictions, local jurisdictions, coordinated very well together and provided the resource support that was needed to be able to take care of our mutual citizens. Lessons learned, we found a lack in coordination and information sharing in the onset with South SCDOT, and in addition, I think we were perhaps taken by surprise with the potential economic impact, both of which we were able to correct in midstream and move forward. On May 24th, we had a functional drill. This is part of our strategic plan on an annual basis. We are accountable for holding multiple various types of drills and exercises. We utilized a fire scenario for this, and actually
created emergency response and evacuation procedures and pulled in the fire department and exercised their response. So we exercised, you know, dual getting out of the building, exiting the building, evacuating, as well as the fire department. So it was a joint effort. The strength, clearly the fire department response was really good, and protocol was followed with good timing. Additionally, we created emergency response and evacuation procedures, and that was a joint effort between fire department, police, risk management, and emergency management. So I think it was a good coordination effort. Lessons learned, as far as the alarm panel is concerned, we're, I think, considering the potential of having our security in the front, because they're right next to the alarm panel, taking a look at it to be able to advise the fire department whenever they come on scene. Additionally, the emergency response and evacuation procedures need to be implemented at each one of the facilities, and so I'm working with all of our stakeholders to be able to accomplish that. June 6th, we had, as you probably know, we had a full-scale Emergency Operations Center exercise. We utilized earthquake as a scenario. This was a regional effort, so our jurisdictions across the region, as well as counties, tri-county area participated. We had the full-scale EOC activation in addition to two tabletop exercise scenarios at fire stations, and worked with East Cooper Medical Center to activate, to assist in a scenario for patient triage and care. So strengths, we were able to exercise some of the organizational structure that we've started to implement since I came on last September. Additionally, GIS held its place in the Emergency Operations Center, and that was found to be very significant for many areas inside of the EOC. I think that was probably one of the biggest wins. Community participation, as I mentioned, East Cooper Medical Center, and then we also used the scouts to do some role-playing with East Cooper Medical Center, so that was really fun. Lessons learned, in an acute no-notice event that interrupts our transportation infrastructure, we understand that people, our staff members, are where they are, so we need to really solidify a plan for transportation and bringing our staff members in to go to work. And additionally, resource and equipment inventory, we really need to take a look at what we have on hand available to us to self-sustain during a catastrophe, and do this from an all-hazards perspective as opposed to hurricane. Moving forward, over the next quarter, what I would like to do is really start to pull the emergency operations planning down to the departmental level, continue our partner engagement as well as community preparedness, and as I mentioned, really look at our resource and equipment inventory, and all of that really is geared towards emergency operations. Moving forward, as we start to solidify the emergency operations, I would like to start paying attention to that mitigation and preparedness, which really increases our resilience and decreases the requirements on the emergency operations end. So you'll start to see some split as far as that's concerned. Resilience, comprehensive planning effort, we're starting to see some terminology in the comp plan. And then, of course, working with the departments such as public services on items such as drainage. That's all I have for you.
Well, that was a bunch. Thank you. Questions or comments from the committee?
Yes, sir. Yes. Two things. One, on the town hall exercise, is there a protocol in place? And maybe you don't want to discuss it publicly, and that's fine. Is there a protocol in place for like a medical emergency in town hall where a highly skilled senior staff can jump on it as opposed to waiting for a 911 response? I guess it's more of a fire than an emergency question.
Yes, sir. A lot of times the front desk will call up and tell us we have some. We have some medical supplies here, and then we'll go assess triage and all that until the trucks get here. And that's happened numerous times.
Yeah, because I saw it at one of the meetings that somebody ran out. I think it was Chief Simpson.
Yes, sir, especially for the council meeting, we bring in a medical crew. We've been doing that for a couple of months. Just, it's a large number of people.
Right.
And, but they did leave on a call at that one time. But we had another unit shift down.
Oh, I see. Okay. As far as the alarm panel downstairs, I mean, same deal. I mean, you have firefighters in the building, so.
Right, and that's what we would do. If the alarm went off, we'd a couple of us would walk the floors and somebody would report to the alarm panel and figure out what the location was. And
so not leaving it to security then? It's
No. Now, yeah. But we are going to train them in the event that for some reason we're all in a meeting or something and out of the building, that they could at least say, hey, it's duct detector third floor, and the fire crews would know where to go from there.
This little tiny snippet, I would just train them never to press the reset button. Make that a firefighter duty.
Absolutely.
Because yes, otherwise you lose where the thing went off, and that goes off again in the middle of the night. The other thing was on the equipment inventory, but it doesn't have to be covered now. I'll ask it separately.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah,
go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. Amanda, do we have a list of HOAs in the town of Mount Pleasant that we can give notice to as far as our preparedness?
So, as a matter of fact, we do have a list. It's actually one of the mechanisms we use to engage the community for Be Flood Ready, and my goal is to implement utilizing that list moving forward. I've actually worked with a couple of the HOAs in Mount Pleasant, and another goal would be to kind of bring together a coalition, per se, of HOAs that would really start to engage and depend on that information and be able to utilize it effectively.
Great, thank you.
Just one question. We have the mobile command center here, correct?
It's not stationed here all of the time.
Where is it? I mean, it's active though, right? It can be used?
Oh, it's active.
Yeah. Have we used it for any of this training?
Yes, absolutely. During the earthquake exercise, the mobile command post was utilized here at Town Hall as a backup to a network failure.
And how has that performance of that vehicle been?
In my opinion, it's been phenomenal. It's been great.
Great. Anything else?
Yes, sir.
All right, Amanda, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you in September, if not before.
Yes, hopefully not before.
All right, moving on to item number 4, which is a discussion regarding the interagency agreement with Awandaw Fire District. We'll be visiting this topic from several months ago. And Chief, we'll ask you for an update on that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let me get this. All right. So this has evolved a little bit since the last time we talked. Before, it was just going to be strictly Mount Pleasant covers all calls that are all in dolls within our jurisdiction. It's evolved a little bit to be an automatic aid agreement. So they'll still be dispatched and become this way. And if it's a vehicle accident and we arrive on scene first, which we likely will, we're good, we got it, we'll cancel them. If it's something like a fire and we need a specialized unit, a tanker truck, something of that nature, then we'll use it. So it's evolved a little bit since we talked last time. Still going to be the same phase plan. Engine 905, which is right there at the Isle of Palms connector, the DMV, will be moved somewhere north to kind of consolidate their units. Like I talked, we'll provide automatic aid somewhere south of Wando High School. We're not exactly sure the cutoff could be Lieben Road, but wherever it makes the most sense as far as the consolidated dispatch, automatic dispatching. And then during the Station 4 rebuild project, we could potentially use their station as a place to house an engine. So it'll save us money for the project to create temporary housing, temporary garage structure for the trucks, and we can run out of there. So that's one of the benefits that we've added to this that we didn't have in there before. Again, some of the maps, these are hard to see from where y'all are, and I'm happy to provide them for you again, but the purple is the area that's not currently covered, that is all in dolls, and the hatched area is under the East Cooper Fire District contract. And all the white, obviously, is Mount Pleasant. And again, just to review their call volume, in that area, that District 5, just 261 calls a year, and we don't feel like that'll add a significant amount to our call volume. As you can see, most of them are medical calls and service calls, false alarms, things of that nature. So we don't feel it'll be a significant impact, and especially since they're going to be providing some resources should we need them, it'll kind of lessen that impact even more. And then just to review the benefits, allow us to better serve our residents like we talked about in the previous meeting. Anything that connects Highway 17 currently gets called in a vehicle accident, a brush fire, is going to automatically dispatch all in all. So we feel like most of the time those are our residents, our tourists, things of that nature. So we feel to provide better customer service, this will help us do that. Temporary housing during the Station 4 rebuild for our unit to save funds, and then allow all in all to consolidate northward to improve their functions. So that's our thing. We're basically asking for permission to move forward with this agreement, get it written up, if that's the will of committee.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions or comments from the committee?
I'd like to hear from others.
I think we vote. It's my understanding we kind of voted on this already, didn't we?
Well, I think they're looking for a direction to actually develop it and execute it. Is that correct? Yeah.
I mean, I would make a motion that we have the chief proceed with the agreement. I have discussion too, but see if we have a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move forward with this. Time for a committee discussion. Mr. Kinane, I'll start with you.
Obviously, the closest fire units should be responding to the closest to the fire, no matter what. It's common sense. We get a benefit also because they're sending one firefighter on an engine right now. And when they get there and they're screaming on the radio, who's coming? We are. So it just makes sense to have the proper crews. I don't have to get into how I feel about the full staffing situation, but believe it or not, it's better than Allendorf's. And our guys are going to be there, our ladies and gentlemen in the fire department are going to be there and put in risk in not being there. So it makes a lot of sense to get there as soon as possible, right at the 911 call. So I think it's a good move. Fiscally, I'm not really sure. It doesn't look like there'll be much of an impact. We do get a benefit for a short time with the being able to house at that station. You mentioned, Chief, that there would be an engine at that station. So is that a change? Because we don't have an engine at Station 4 now.
Correct. So the rescue won't fit there. We're going to have to look logistically how we do it, but obviously we have to leave a fire apparatus. We can't just leave a squad there, but it'll probably be a smaller engine that can actually fit in that station.
Is that a new company?
We haven't fully looked at all of that, but possibly.
All right. I think that's a great idea. When you look at the map of town, it's just a hole. I mean, rescue having the pump on it is still not an engine company. You know, the engine is your infantry and the fire service, and there's a big hole between the closure on Bowman and the removal of the engine and the relocation of the engine and having no engine at 6 Mile. It's a big piece of the town that really doesn't have a first due engine company that's engine. Yes, there's pumping capacity on different types of rigs, but I think having an engine there is a smart move. It's great. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Mr. Owens?
Good. I'm good.
And so Allendorf number 5, that is the county. It's at the county site right there on
Yes, sir. Right there on Isle of Palms and the DMV.
Okay. And how long do you expect the renovation of Station 4 to last?
Just going off the last station we built, probably 18 months to 24 months.
All right.
Are we going to see anything about that station before it happens, Eric?
Or? Yes, sir. Yeah. As we start getting through design, first of all, you'll likely be interviewed about some specs that you may want to see in the building, right? You think should be in there. As you get through the design process, about 30%, it will come back to your committee and say, this is what the initial 30% of the completion of design will be brought to you. We'll show you the pictures. Does this look about right? Are you comfortable with it? They won't bring it back to you one more time, about 60, 65%. And usually at that point, you say, okay, and we finish it up with the bid.
Because I think we should look at the ability to put this operation next door out in the middle of town. You're putting the best experience we have in a better position to be there when things hit the fan, you know. So I don't know if that could be incorporated into it or not, a chief's office or something to make it like a central station, because we're spending the money. We might as well do it once instead of going back later and trying to add something.
That's exactly right. It's important to us that we hear from you what you feel is needed in the building. And for a location and a site like that, it may, based on your input, it may require us to go taller, say 2 stories, if it's the committee's interest to put headquarters at that location.
That helps you with flooding and hurricane issues too, if you shore up a second floor location. I mean, you may think I'm crazy, but New Orleans, they were operating out of a phone company building with John Boats, and there was no 2-story buildings except the phone company. So,
well, the only thing that I would add to that is that we want to make sure that we have lessons learned from fire station number 6. with regard to materials and methodology of construction, with regard to the floor that was peeling up and so forth. There are some challenges there that we want to avoid, and I'm sure we've learned lessons from.
Yes, sir. We may, once again, I don't have my microphone on. We may bring to you, especially through you as chairman of Bids and Purchases, Mr. Owens, a different alternative procurement method. Mm-hmm. And either a pre-qualification or a design build or a construction manager at risk, something different than what we had and had to utilize out there at that fire station.
Yeah, that would be preferable.
Yeah. And I will say, too, the project manager for Station 4 was an associate project manager at Station 6, so he's very aware of the pitfalls and the problems we ran into, so we're very confident that he's able to kind of work through some of that and see it coming down the line and correct it before it happens.
Good. Thank you, Chief.
All right, so we have a motion and a second on the floor to move the Awandaw Mutual Aid Agreement, or Automatic Aid Agreement, forward for development and execution. So any more discussion on that item? We'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. All right, moving on to item number 5, which is the presentation of the 2017 annual report. And Mr. Chief Mixon.
All right, so our annual report was a very technical document, a lot of verbiage, a lot of wording, and we wanted to create something that was easily digestible for the community, for our personnel, something they could look at and just get the gist of what we did in the previous year. So we cleaned it up a lot. We, you know, had a lot of pictures and things of that nature. So we're going to send this to print this week, and I'll provide all of you a copy where you can really look at it thoroughly. I won't go through this line by line today because in the interest of time, but I will provide that when we print it. But we just wanted to show it to you today, show you what we came up with. And again, just something the community could pick up if they didn't know a lot about the departments, see what we do and what we did in the previous year. A little intro of what the fire department is, our mission and vision statements, my expectations, and again, I'm not going to read you every one of these, but I'll let you look through it quickly. Yeah, and I'll email y'all the copy. We wanted to have it printed, but the printer wasn't. Couldn't quite get it done, but I'll email y'all a copy of it and then give you the hard copy when it comes in. Our organizational chart, who we are, pretty straightforward. Y'all have seen this a couple times, a little bit different layout on how we did it. Same layout, but different look.
You go back to that?
Sure.
Chief, sorry. Thanks.
Yes, sir. And then just a little bit about what we do, our staffing level, our revenue that we bring in, the location of our stations in case somebody was curious about what's the closest station to their home or their business if they had a question. Our station location map, just a general overview that you can see where you are in the town. A little bit about the town as a whole, how many housing units we serve, square mileage of land, road miles. That's our hotspot map at the bottom, something that we're looking at, especially for strategic planning going forward, really working with GIS and getting a good sense of what's going on in those areas. And here's our call volume. So this year we've added apparatus movements. You'll see 8,900 calls of service, but with that, not every call is just a single unit response. So a fire alarm, vehicle accident, a structure fire, those have multiple units. So we wanted to show that even though we only had 8,900 calls, that's actually close to 17,000 apparatus movements to fulfill the balance of the alarm assignment. 5,500 fire inspections, 5,400 of those calls were EMS calls, 239 fire incidents, so that includes vehicle fires, grass fires, things of that nature. We did 173 building plan reviews, so looking at sprinkler systems in new buildings, exit routes, all of those things. We sign off on those as well as the building department. 58 structure fires and then 21 fire investigations.
So just a question, Chief.
Sure.
Going back to the automatic aid agreement,
mm-hmm.
Does that only reflect response to incidents? So it doesn't do things like any kind of fire inspections, none of that kind of service, right?
Correct. So they're going to still do all their fire inspections in their area. Boone Hall, for example, they're still going to handle all the private events as far as medical or fire standby. It's just strictly call response.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And then we broke it down by which truck, how many calls per truck, engines, squads, ladders, so we get a sense of where the calls are happening in the jurisdiction.
How many of the engine responses were medical?
That's a good question. I could break that down farther and see engine versus squad, how many engines went to a call versus how many squads, times the squad actually picked up the medical call, if you want me to.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Total medical.
Yeah, true.
Squad response is about half.
And in those calls, that's all calls, and the squad does respond on some calls other than medical, but Mr. Moore's right. Most of the squad calls are going to be medical.
What's the tolerance level? Like, I see 503s doing 2,100 run responses. At some point, do you say we need a second piece there, or how does that work?
Yes, sir, and we don't really have a cutoff, but we know that 2,100 calls is a lot for a single engine to be running as in our area. In years past, you know, it used to be 1,000, but that was 15, 20 years ago. That was kind of the unspoken thing. Well, if you had 1,000 calls, you had an engine, and I don't know that that's realistic. That's low number.
I think the closure of Bowman would have, you know, I mean, if you were to just put an engine back in there, there's half your... He cuts it in half probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, that Bowman corridor with the assisted living facilities, medical calls, and alarms kind of go hand-in-hand in those facilities. So potentially, yes, sir. But to answer your question, we don't have a cutoff, but we realize that Engine 503 and even Engine 501 are responding to a lot of calls.
Do 501's McCants?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll wait till the end.
Okay.
Sorry.
Broke it down by battalion chiefs, specialty units, how many times our Marine unit went out last year, 32 times, things of that nature. That bottom thing, property saved versus loss. In the past, we only did fire loss. So you look at that and you say, wow, $3 million, that's a tough number to swallow. But we compare that to actual how much property value there was and how much we saved per se. So it makes it a little more understandable when you're looking at it and saying, wow, that's a large number of loss. Well, actually, there's a good bit of that was property saved. So we changed that statistic a little bit to make it more understandable.
Chief, I'd go a step further. Sometimes you have to sacrifice property to save a life, so it's just property.
Yes, sir.
I would also add to that going back again to the aid agreement, if you look at that map, as we did, a lot of that county property sits adjacent to town property. And so having that the automatic aid agreement not only protects the Allendale property, but it also protects the properties, Mount Pleasant properties that are adjacent or could be damaged by fires as well. So it's,
yes, sir,
from that perspective, it's a benefit to the town as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
It also increases our road miles and potentially our numbers go up a little bit. And it's not all positives.
A hotspot map of where the fire locations were, just something, again, we're starting to kind of work more with GIS, and this is one of the things we've looked at so far. No correlation yet on exactly what that means. It's only 259 calls, so statistically, you could have 3 or 4 calls in a location, and it makes it look like there's some type of trend there, but we're digging into that further. We broke it out by districts now, and we're looking at it. Our fire districts, again, color-coded, our hydrant map, which we're very lucky in Mount Pleasant. We have a very good hydrant system, and Waterworks does a great job with that.
Chief, what's the status of those empty spots? Obviously, those are the county areas with no hydrants.
Yes, sir. So that the large white area in the middle there is Boone Hall, just for reference, with no roads or no hydrants. And then, yes, the other areas are county.
So you have to adapt your responses now at all for the new age?
Right,
new agreement,
and that's part of the reason we looked at more of an automatic aid to get them coming.
Keep them.
And if we realize it's that, we'll say, hey, we need a couple tenders, and send them this way because we don't have hydrants in this area. Our community partners page, just giving a little nod to the people that we work with closely and that help us do what we do. Some pictures in there of what happened last year. And then that's the report.
Good. Thank you, sir. Any questions, comments? Looking forward to getting hard copies of those. And
sir.
I can say that other town departments have done these in the past as well. Very well done. Planning, I'm very familiar with. Those are very well, I think, respected and liked by the community as well. Because folks don't have a lot of time to dig into the website or to reports, but something like that does give a good indication of all the things that are going on in the department, especially things that aren't well known. So appreciate that. Look forward to that.
Chief. And I'd like to just say thank you to Mark Well, because he was the one with the vision there and the expertise that was that kind of put what we wanted on paper and made it look really good. So without him, we couldn't have done that. So thank you.
Chief, with the road miles, do you track that year over year to see if you're traveling more? Or is that just a new stat that you threw in there?
That's something we got from transportation, road miles as far as how many actual miles of town road are there.
Okay, so you're not tracking your mileage traveled in responses or the time. More importantly, from my perspective, is the time. Is the time taking longer than it did 5 years ago? I know the answer, but I'd like to
now,
see it.
Yeah, road miles, we don't. We could probably do it. I don't know how we would. But, yeah, as far as response times.
Odometer.
True. But response times, those are going to come out with our annual compliance report in July because those are associated with that. So we do track those every year and look at the trends over the last 5 years with that.
And in light of the light staffing that we have, I know traditionally that first unit is always stopping the clock, but really I'd like to see how long does it take us to get a firefighting force present in front of a building.
Yes, sir. And we do, and that's part of it. The effective response force, or the EFR,
whatever the
ARF. That's clock too. How long does it take you to get X number of personnel on the scene?
Because we had a fatal fire a month ago in Snowden. Very quick response. It just happened to be close to the station. I saw the after-action report. I don't know if you wanted to share with committee anything about that, about the crew sizes, because when I brought up crew sizes, people look at me like I have three heads or I'm making it up myself. So would you be willing to share what the crews on the scene said about the size of the crew?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you want me to do. I mean, there was one blurb in there that noted that the first arriving truck had three. And so, you know, they're staffed with four, but that day they happen to have three. They're at minimum staffing, and it was a one line.
So they noted it as a negative?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wanted that to be placed on the record. It's neither here nor there whether it would have changed the outcome. But the point is, for the benefit of the committee, I'm not just making this stuff up. It's actually coming from the field up, too. Thank you.
Sure. And if any member of the committee would like like that report that's available, that can be made available to them?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Just make it available to all.
Yeah, sure. All right. Thank you, Chief. And moving on to item number 6, which is an update on the strategic planning process the fire department's currently going through. Chief, we'll let you do that. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Yes, sir. So just some bullet points of what we've done so far and what we're planning to do here in the future. Our 2017 annual compliance report for accreditation will be done in July. And how that ties into the strategic planning is they give us goals and strategic objectives to complete over the following 5 years. So as part of that, to get those things accomplished, we want to tie that into our strategic plan because some of it's funding, some of it's policy, some of those things tie into that. So that'll be done in July. We've established our strategic plan format. There's actually a group that travels around that you can pay to do your strategic plan, and we've seen a lot of those, and they're good, but we're going to emulate what their format is because, again, it ties into accreditation. So we want it to, when accreditation comes, they like the format. We've completed an internal safety survey through Drexel University. That was done by our line personnel. It was an anonymous survey that answered a lot of safety questions about things we do policy-wise and procedural-wise, and we hope to get that back in a month or two once Drexel compiles the data. We've developed three community stakeholder surveys that are going to go out in a phased approach. We have one of them out there now that kind of weighs, does the community know what we do? What do they expect of us? Have they interacted, and what was the customer service level like? And also the same thing on the business side. Has someone inspected your business? Did they explain to you, you know, what the violations were, things of that nature, so we can get a pulse of the community. We've held a roundtable session with every station and every shift. That was 21 separate meetings just to figure out what's going on at that level, what can we do better, what is your vision for the department going forward, and we're going to use that data. Developing internal stakeholder interviews, so that's where we interview you all and some others within the town that can give us good feedback on where they see the vision of the fire department. We're going to do a SWOT analysis with our people, which is strength, weakness, opportunities, and threat, kind of a deeper delve into their idea of the fire department and what they see coming down the pipe. We're going to several fire departments throughout the state. We actually had our fire marshal in Hilton Head last Friday looking at a click-to-enter system for security gates that they have. So we're going to go around the state and look at and talk to people and say, hey, what do you do well? What things have you done that haven't worked? And try to get good ideas from around the state. And then, like I alluded to earlier, we're working with GIS to create kind of a deeper analytical approach to what we see coming or where we see problem areas in the town so that we can form our department based upon all that. So that's where we are in the plan. A lot of work going into it to get some of these things established, like the surveys and things of that nature. But now that we've formed a lot of that, we feel that the plan is going to kind of start forming and rolling out in the next several months.
All right. Questions?
Looks good, Chief.
Thank you.
The timeline for the plan?
Hopefully September, October time frame.
Okay. Great.
We'd like to have it before mid-year.
Chief, if there's opportunities outside the state for improvement, would you look at them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not just looking at our state. Obviously, that's the most easily accessible departments to go see. But, yeah, if somebody's doing something in California or Indiana that's cutting edge and we could work for us and our size community, absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. And that brings us to item number 7, which is a motion to adjourn. We are complete for today. So thank you all for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. 15 minutes.